Pascha Week is a period in the year where the Church relives hour by hour all the events of the final days of our Lord Jesus Christ, culminating in his victorious crucifixion and his glorious resurrection. Upper Room Media presents to you the Pascha Week sermons.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Being in the presence of God under the feet of the Lord. Recently, I gave a talk and I asked the people, what is life? What is life? Just to eat and drink and be merry and make money and work and work and study and study and make money and work and get married and have kids. What is life? It's an important question for us that we ask. Life, if it is in the absence of the author of life, it is worthless and it is of no value. لو الحياة بعيدة عن واهب الحياة, when you have a book, I have this book, someone gave it to me or got it. So you have a book, there is an author for the book, right? حد كتبه. The church is saying that the author of life, the one who created life, is God. In the liturgy of Saint Cyril, Philodas Kyrillosi, this is what we say: O author of life. You are the one who created life. So what is life? Whatever you are doing, whatever your career, whatever your role, male, female, mom, dad, youth, kids, adult, older, younger, whatever your walk in life, if you are disconnected from the author of life, then what is life for you? You are just born from the darkness of the womb, living in the darkness of life, ending in the darkness of the tomb. This is life for you. But if you are connected to the author of life, then life has a meaning. Then you are now connected to the one who gives life. Then you have purpose, then you have meaning, then God is utilizing you in your life, then you see the hands of God. And things is completely different. It's completely different life. So, in today, this theme has been in my mind for a long time, and I think it will remain for a long time as well. Being in the presence of God. Under the feet of the Lord, we'll speak about three things. One document, one word, and one request. One document, one word that the Lord said on the cross, and one request. This is my personal request to you. So the document I shared recently in one of the youth meetings, I will share it because it's a very powerful one. The historical evidence of Christ's crucifixion. The archaeologists discovered that Pontius Pilate had written a lengthy report on his term. The report, The archaeologists discovered that Pontius Pilate had written a lengthy report on this term. The report was kept in the record of the Roman Empire together with the judgment of the crucifixion. We are going to end the report in details. The archaeologists were guided by the writing of historians of the first two Christian generation, the martyr philosopher Justin or Justin Martyr and the scholar Tertullian, Al-Alama Tertullianus. And Justin and Tertullian mentioned the following document that they found in the ruins of the city of Aquila within the works of Napoli in 1280. The judgment that was engraved on a brass plate in Hebrew, Pontius' report, and the letter from Julius to the governor of Galilee. The following is the content of this document. I can share with you later on. Dear Caesar Corazini, King of the Romans. I was informed that you want to know what about I am to tell you. At the present time, there is a man that walks in a great virtue called Jesus. We are speaking about being in the presence of God. Being of the presence of God, if you know someone who is close to you, at least you know stuff about how they look like, how tall they are, how their personality, how they affect people, how they walk, what they dress, you know them. There is a man that walks in a great virtue called Jesus. People consider him a prophet of virtue. His disciples, this is an historical record outside of the church. His disciples says that he is the Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth. Indeed, O King, we hear strange things about this Jesus. He raises the dead, heals the sick with a single word. He is a man of straight stature. إنه إنسان بقوام معتدل. ذو منظر جميل للغاية. له هيبة بهية جدا حتى من ينظر إليه يلتزم أن يحبه أو يخافه. He is a man of a straight stature with a very fine looking. He is very good looking. And he has a very glowing reverence that forces whoever looks at him to love him or to fear him. I don't know if you notice the replica of the Shroud of Turin, and if you are familiar, you will identify exactly the feature, the Lord's face and his hands and his body. If you are not familiar with it, maybe if you see it in the negative form, it will be very clear. This is the replica of the Shroud of Turin, El Kafan El Masih, that was covering the body of the Lord. Until this day, no one has a clue how a picture can be imprinted. If you wrap your hand with a handkerchief, a white handkerchief, and you dip your hand in red color, and you put all your hand in the handkerchief and you tie your hand with the hand, will your the picture of your hand be imprinted on the handkerchief? هت صورة إيدك هتطبع على المنديل؟ No, you'll just have the sign five the high five sign. You have the dimension of how big your hand is and so forth. You will never have a picture imprinted. And this is one of the miracles of the Shroud of Turin. That you, when you look at it, you see the image of Christ on it. And they have been studying this for years and years and years. Many people did PhDs in this. Many people have dived in depth. But the question that is not answered is how this picture is imprinted on a piece of cloth. And one of the things that is, for me, many people, when they see the Shroud of Turin, whether they, it's like the cross. You are on the right or on the left. When you see the cross, you have two options, being on the right or being on the left, being with the right thief or being with the left thief. When you see the Shroud of Turin or the replica of it, you will be on the right or on the left. It's your choice, it's your decision. But one of the things that, for me, this is a done deal. That in the history, there is no one who has been, crucifixion is in the history of the Roman Empire for years. And it is well known, death sentence for many. And it is well established. But no one has a record in history to be crucified with a crown of thorns. No one has been crucified. Many has been crucified, but no one has a crown of thorns. And when you, if you go and dig deeper in the head of the Lord, you will find a lot of bleeding spots. And they found, the researcher found pollen grains. Guess what? They take the pollen grains and they locate it to where it has been, the time of the pollen grains and the location. First century in Jerusalem. You have to be on the right or on the left. Back to the document. He is a man of straight stature with very fine looking. He has a very glowing reverence that forces whoever looks at him to love him or to fear him. To love him and be on the right side, or to fear him and be on the left side. He has a very straight hair of dusty color, but brighter that goes down on his ears than to his shoulders. With a glow in his forehead, as in the other Nazarites, has a straight but delightful forehead. His face is without wrinkle, with a straight nose and perfect mouth. He is a man of stature with eyes like the sun's ray. His face is so bright that no one can look at it. He is fearful when he reprimands, and his guidance makes you cry. He attracts people with his love. He is joyful, never seen laughing, but mostly tearful. His hands and arms are very kind, were kind and beautiful. He captures many with his dialogue, with his conversation, which are rare. He is very modest in his dialogues, and he appears as the most fine-looking man. He looks like his mother, who is the best found among the women of the region. Then, in terms of his knowledge, he stunned the entire city of Jerusalem, as he understands all disciplines without studying them at all. He walks around barefoot with uncovered head like foolish people, so that many ridicule him when they see him, but they become fearful and dumbfounded in his presence. It was said that they never heard of such a man in this region. I indeed verified from the Hebrews that they never heard stories like what we heard about this Jesus. Many of the Jewish scholars consider him God and believe in him, but many others dislike him and say that he opposes your majesty's law. Therefore, I am concerned about those wicked Hebrews. It's said that he never disappointed anyone, but whoever knew and encountered him reported that they received abundant grace, blessings from him. I am fully ready to comply and fulfill your majesty's order, Julius Stos, governor of Judea. So the first point I want to share with you is this document. We'll share it also on the WhatsApp, maybe on the newsletter of the church for your record. It is good to return back and to contemplate how the Lord looked like and how people perceived him, and how those who were not able to look to him in the face or in the eye, and how those who looked to him, whether they loved him or they feared him. Second is one word that the Lord said on the cross. If you go to the sayings of the Lord on the cross, he said 7 words, 3 of them in the light, 1 in the time of darkness from the 6th to the 9th hour, another 3 in the after the 9th hour. So 3 before the 6th, 1 during the darkness on the earth, and the last is after the last 3 is after the 9th hour. And there is an amazing order in the way the Lord was speaking. Look, when you see someone who is silent and their words are few, you can understand what is in their mind by what they say. So what was the first thing that the Lord said? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they have done. The Lord showed an unprecedented amount of care to everyone. But you think, did the Lord care for his family first, or the other people first? يعني ربنا كان مركز مع سانت ماري first or the rest of the world? Did he focus on the forgiveness of their sins, or he was taking care of their needs? This is what we will answer now. The Lord was preoccupied by others while on the cross, and he was concerned about the persecutors. The Lord was thinking of the forgiveness of the whole world. This is number one, because this is the first word that the Lord said, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they have done. يا أبتاه اغفر لهم لأنهم لا يعلمون ماذا يفعلون. And then the Lord cared for the thief on the right hand, promising him the paradise. So he cared for the forgiveness of the whole world. This is number one. Then the right thief. Today you will be with me in paradise. And he also directed his attention to his mother, Saint Mary, entrusting his beloved disciple John with the task of taking care of her. And this is the word that I want to share with you. Woman, behold your son, behold son, behold your mother. قال الأم يا امرأة هو ذا ابنك ثم قال للتلميذ هو ذا أمك. If anyone is good in studying the Bible, I will give you, if you are really good, will give you a challenge. When did the Lord speak about honoring your father and your mother? In the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is the constitution of Christianity. الموعظة على الجبل هي دستور المسيحية, right? If you slept already. If you are on your phone, please stop using your phone. If you are on your phone, don't use your phone. If you are taking notes, it's okay. So when did the Lord mention about or give a teaching about taking care of mom or dad, obey your parents in the Lord, or اكرم أباك وأمك, honor your parents, your father and mother in the scripture, in the New Testament? Did the Lord speak about honoring the mom or the dad in the New Testament, all the New Testament? No, he didn't. He didn't even mention anything about it in the Sermon on the Mount. But he said, let me keep it for the last thing that I will do to tell you how important this is. It is not just only by the teaching, but by the action. So the Lord on the cross was preoccupied with the forgiveness of sins, number one, with the salvation of people who are around him, number two, and with the needs of Saint Mary, number three. So he went for the world, then to the people who are around him, to then to the close people. Every one of us, if you have a sandwich, or you have a little bit of extra money, or you have money and someone is in need, you don't give it to the people whom you don't know. You go to the smaller circle, then the bigger circle, then the huge circle. The Lord is doing the opposite. So the Lord entrusted Saint Mary to Saint John and entrusted and gave the responsibility of taking care of Saint Mary to Saint John. One of the fathers said this nice saying, the Virgin, which is Christ, was a virgin, entrusted his virgin disciple, Saint John the Beloved, with his virgin mother. The Virgin, the Lord, entrusted his virgin his virgin disciple, Saint John, with his virgin mother. There is something in living a pure life and connecting with God. There is something in living a pure life and connecting with the saints. There is something in being connected with Saint Mary and holding yourself accountable and living a pure life. He entrusted his mother, who stood beside his cross, to the only disciple who followed him to the cross. We are speaking about being in the presence of God. Being in the presence of God. If you are being in the presence of God and you are walking with the Lord all the way to the cross, one of the best gifts that you will receive is your forgiveness of sins, because you will overhear him saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they have done. And this includes me and you. Gandhi, the Indian leader, he said, because of just this statement of the Lord on the cross, I would believe in Christianity. And I would believe in Christ. But because of the Christians, I'm not believing. Again. He said, because of this statement on the cross that the Lord Jesus Christ said on the cross that was documented, and the first thing that he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they have done, asking for the forgiveness of people who just are putting you to death, and you are the righteous, and you are the holy one, and you are the one without sin. When Gandhi is looking to this, he said, this must be God. So I would believe in Jesus Christ that he is God, but I will not continue in this path because of the Christians, because of the behavior, because if we are dealing with hypocrites and people who are living away, calling themselves Christians, but they are living as the world, then we are a stumbling block from people to return back to God or to come closer to God. Normally, a person in time of pain will receive attention of others. Mama, shufti isbaay wagani. My back is hurting. I have headache. Where everyone is seeking, hey, maalish habibi. When Abuna got injured, everyone is writing the notes on the... نسيت اسمها ايه الكاست كنت اقول كاسكت sorry everyone is writing the notes on the cast because we are seeking attention, but in the excruciating pain of the Lord on the cross, he was not seeking attention. He was giving blessing, giving forgiveness, giving care, giving support. Normally, a person in the pain receives attention, but the Lord himself in his pain was the one caring for the others. So how much he cares for you? When we start doubting the care of God or the love of God to us because your prayer is not answered. Your prayers, when it is not answered, does not mean that God does not care for you. Maybe this is how he cares even more for you, that you are asking for something that is against his will. His first concern was to us to forgive sins. Then the salvation of the right thief, then he took care of Saint Mary. This is one of my favorite statements that I have read about Saint Mary and the cross. Her holy face was the first face that he saw on his birth into the world in the human form. The first person that our Lord Jesus Christ have seen when he opened his eyes when he was born was Saint Mary. And was the last face to see, the last face he saw before also commending his spirit into the hands of the Father. It tells you the rank and the amazing connection that the Lord is having with Saint Mary and how we are honoring Saint Mary. Yes, we are not honoring her like different denominations who are saying that she is born without sin. No, she is born with the sin because she called Christ my Savior. But definitely her intercession and her powerful prayer and intercession on our behalf is very strong. So his care for Saint Mary was amazing. He started the dialogue with her. If you go back to the reading, the right thief is the one who spoke to him. The Lord did not initiate the talk with the conversation with the right thief. But with Saint Mary, he is the one who started talking because he knows that she is not going to talk. She has been keeping everything in her heart, pondering about whatever she is going. She is meditating, she is praying, she is connecting with God. It is not just with talking. He comforted Saint Mary and he took care of her needs. She has not to wonder where I'm going to stay, what's going to happen, how I'm going to live my life after the events of the cross and the resurrection. And he offered her a spiritual son to take care of her. And also, if you walk with the Lord and you want to be in the presence of God, one of the gifts that you will, the blessings that you will get is that Saint Mary also will be close to you. The Lord told her woman, Ya Imra'a, this, and he said this statement to Saint Mary twice, or the record is twice, 3.5 years back in with the wedding of Cana of Galilee. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. The word woman or imra'a is not talking in any way of disrespect. One of the scholars was saying it's like this saying is as if you are calling to the queen. You are telling her the woman is in a very honorable way. It is not a way that is putting her down at all. On the contrary, it is the opposite. So he told her, woman, 3.5 years, and he told her also, woman, my hour has not yet come. So as he wanted to remind us with the prophecy in Genesis 3:15 for the first woman. What was the prophecy about the first woman? In Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and... لا أنا عاوزكم تقروا اللي ناموا ناموا مش مشكلة كملوا نوم at least and between your seed and her seed and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. The Lord here is speaking, God in the Garden of Eden is speaking to the serpent. I will put enmity, أضع عداوة بينك وبين المرأة وبين نسلك وبين نسلها. How come you have the her seed? There is no one who is born without the seed of man. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is born of the seed of the woman only. And this is a fulfillment of the prophecy. That's why also one of the church fathers, they said he used the same word, woman, so as to link the first Eve or the first woman in ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and was separated from God by her disobedience, while the second Eve, Saint Mary, connected us with God, and through her the Lord took flesh, أخذ عجينة البشرية. He took the dough of humanity from her, and a fulfillment of the prophecy that as if he is telling her, from your seed, my mother, from your seed, from you is the fulfillment of the victory of over the kingdom of darkness, between your seed and her seed, and your head will destroy the Satan and his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and you shall bruise his heel. Because if you are walking in a hike, the snake will not attack your head. The snake will attack your foot. Woman, behold your son. You also, if you are following the Lord till the cross, you will hear this from the Lord. The Lord will tell Saint Mary, behold your son, or behold your daughter. By the way, this happened literally in the life of Pope Shenouda. Pope Shenouda, as you know, was born and he lost his mom in very early age. I don't think that he saw even his mom. And one time he was devastated in the church, and he went to the church. So Abuna told him, why are you upset? He told him, because I didn't see my mom. When Pope Shenouda was very little, so Abuna took him all the way. The Pope is saying this. He took him all the way to the icon of Saint Mary, and he told him, "Hey, this is your mom," which is very true. Which is very true. You will hear this from the Lord. The Lord will tell Saint Mary, "Behold, this is your son or your daughter. Take this opportunity and hold fast to it." Saint Mary is very powerful, is very compassionate, is very strong. Her intercession is beyond measure. Ask for the intercession of Saint Mary and don't lose this opportunity. The Lord also is saying to the church, for us as clergy and for us as servants, take care of the children of God. Behold your son. Those are the children of God. We need to take care of you. And the Lord also is entrusting you to take care of the church. Not for the financial need, but to feel that this is where my salvation is. Church is seeking, we as a church will seek the people, because they are, God has entrusted them to us, and you also have the responsibility to take care of the church as well. As I told you, the honor your parents, the Lord never spoke about this commandment in the Sermon on the Mount, but he wanted to make it a practical lesson. Not from the Mount, the Sermon on the, from the Mount, the Sermon of the Mount, but for the Mount of Golgotha. So two things we spoke about, one document, one word, how caring the Lord was about for St. Mary, and last is one request. Abuna Shoy Kamel had something very simple that he did. He drew the feet of the Lord nailed on the cross on a very small sketch, and he wrote beside it this statement, "For my sake." Min agli. Many times we hear, this is the day that the Lord has saved the world. The Lord has given his forgiveness for all the nations from Adam and Eve till the end of days. And you speak about big, big stuff. No, forget about this big. This big stuff is true and it happened. But he died for your sake and for my sake. The story of salvation and the story of the cross is for us. It's for me personally. That's why Abuna in the liturgy, in the Gregorian liturgy, he will say, "For my sake, O Lord, for my sake, you have accepted the scourges for my sake." It is for our sake, for your sake personally. So I want you to do two things. If the cross is for our sake, then, and you want to be in the presence of the Lord, and you don't want to have anything that separates you from the Lord. What separates us from God is sin. So with all the craziness that all of us are in, this is what this is just a suggestion. So we'll have 3 minutes, just 3 minutes. That in this 3 minutes, close your eyes and start listing the sins that you have done. For you, I don't need to know. If you want to confess, it's fine. But this is between you and God. That in those 3 minutes will be in silence. Just give those 3 minutes, and I will. So you have two homework to do. First is the 3 minutes. If you want to write it down in the phone, write it down on a piece of paper, it's fine. And also in the first 100 metanias, this is the advice from Pope Shenouda. He said this: write down or remember the sins one by one, one by one, asking. When you are doing the matanias, in the first 100 matanias, asking God for the forgiveness, that he will forgive you and remove this thorn in your flesh, or this plant or the seed of death in our hearts. So I will have the 3 minutes. Close your eyes. Don't sleep, I hope so. نايمين ما تصحوش ما حدش صحيهم سيبوهم نايمين. No problem. The 3 minutes is over. It is very, repentance is not hard, and returning back to God is not hard. But unfortunately, we are, the life is being stolen, hijacked, that we don't have even 3 minutes to sit to get on our own and to evaluate our life. If you have no clue about how to examine yourself, I call it the MRI style. MRI, when you go to the MRI, they put you in a bed and you get screened. So start with the head all the way to the bottom. So what I'm thinking of, what I'm looking at, what I'm listening to, what I am curious and putting my nose in, what my mouth is taking, whether I'm smoking, drinking, getting drunk, whatever, not fasting, what I am saying, the henna, I feel a lot of problems. then the heart, so the screening, head, eyes, what I listen to, the nose, the mouth, what I say and all what we share, then the heart, the feelings, then the belly, the discipline and gluttony, then the back is when we are taking our spiritual life with discipline. Then the private part, where am I living a pure life or not living a pure life? Then my hands, what my hands are doing, my work, the things that I search online, the things that I do, the people that I hit with my hand, where my foot is leading me, is it leading me to the path of peace or to the path away from the Lord? A very, very quick way to screen our life. And Abuna mentioned yesterday, there is no sin that is bigger than the forgiveness and the love of God. In this season, this is a season for being in His presence and knowing that He has done this for your sake, not for mom or dad or geddu, teta or khaltu, ammetu, sittu. It is for your sake, it's for my sake. That's why in the Thok Tetigom, my Savior, my praise, my salvation. May God give me and give each one of us that we will enjoy the rest of this day and connect with the Lord and be in His presence, not today only, but all our life, to whom is the glory forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.